Thanksgiving. Wonderful time of the year, isn't it? Great time. What do you think about when you think of Thanksgiving? Amen. It's a good Presbyterian. We always think about food. And then we eventually maybe think about other things. So as I was praying and thinking about a Thanksgiving sermon, the Lord put Psalm 23 on my heart. You say, well, we're not having a funeral today. Why in the world are you doing Psalm 23? Because I think Psalm 23 is at the heart of giving thanks. Think about it. Jesus is described as the shepherd. And we're going to go through this psalm this morning in the moments we have to study the Word. You think about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ, who He is, what He means to you, and see if it doesn't cause us to want to give thanks to Him. Before we study, let us pray. Father in heaven, we humble ourselves in your presence to worship the true and living God, to honor your holy and majestic name in this part of your worship. Thank you for the blessings you've already given to us this morning. And now we look forward to the study of your word. Father, we cast all of our care upon you because you care for us. I pray that you will keep the evil one from us, that you will enable us to concentrate on you and your word, as you would instruct us today by your Holy Spirit, that your children would be spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged in their relationship with you and living before you. Father, I pray for those here today who do not know Jesus as their Savior. Oh, Lord, that you would work in their hearts, that they would come to know Christ in a personal way, that they would experience your love and your grace and your mercy and your forgiveness, being freed from the bondage of sin and death, having peace within their hearts through Christ. We all have needs in our lives, and you know what they are, and I pray that you'll address those needs as we study your word. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Let us stand as we read Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. You may be seated. No one really knows when David wrote this psalm. It's believed that he was reflecting on his life and possibly even the tending sheep and seeing how God had provided for him. So let's think about our own lives and how the Lord has provided for us. Notice that first line, the Lord is my shepherd. There's no hesitation in this phrase. There is absolutely no doubt whatsoever. Is your relationship with Christ like that? Where you and I can say, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, when you read this in the original language, it's a different statement. If you read it literally, it says, the Lord is shepherding me. Think about that. One is a statement of fact. The other is an action that the Lord is shepherding me all the time. That's what it literally means. The Lord is shepherding me. That means He's watching over me, protecting me, providing for me, caring for me. So the Lord is shepherding me. And then the next phrase, I shall not want. The verb there, not want, actually means not lacking anything. I will not lack anything. Y'all believe that? Do we practice it? You ever get anxious about life, what you need? You think, I don't know how I'm going to do this. You think about the Lord shepherding you. And as a result of that, we say, I shall not want. And then look at the next phrase He has there. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. If you read that from the literal Hebrew, it says, He causes me to lie down in green pastures. The verb to make is okay, but it kind of gives a connotation of lay down now. But the verb is causative. He causes me to lie down in green pastures. Notice the pastures are green. Now, we all know that the land of Israel at that time was not really full of green grass. The shepherds had to really look and search for that grass. And when they found it, the sheep would have food. And He would pause there so the sheep could eat. The Lord knows when you and I need spiritual nourishment. He knows when we need to lie down and meditate and reflect on His Word. And to look at His Word and what it means to you and to me personally in the context in which we're in. Wouldn't you like a little bit of a day to just lie down and take it easy? Wouldn't that be nice? Sunday afternoon is usually the time. It's called nap time. Right? You're going to get one this afternoon. I trust maybe some of us will. Some of us will not. We need to lie down in the green pastures of the Word of God. To be spiritually nourished for the purpose of growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of us take a drive-through attitude when we worship and when we study the Lord, study the Word. You know, how many of you are looking at your watches now? Oh, I wonder how long that guy's going to go. We have a drive-through where we eat it and beat it. Instead of taking the Word of God in and reflecting on it, meditating on it, asking ourselves, what is this telling me? What is the Lord pointing out to me? We need to lie down in green pastures. When is the last time we all were able to lie down in a green pasture? Look at the next phrase He says there. He said, He leads me beside still waters. He leads me beside still waters. You know, the shepherd over in the Mideast never drives the sheep. He leads them. He's out front. And He's showing them the way they need to go. And that's what the Lord does for you and me every day, if we will just follow when He leads. The verb to lead there is a very strong verb. Very strong verb. It means to lead carefully. It means to lead carefully. The shepherd knows the ground, knows the path, knows the best one for his sheep. And he doesn't take them in an area and in a manner that is going to be hard or difficult or dangerous for his sheep. When he leads you and me, he knows exactly how to lead us. The pace that we need that's good for you and me in life. He leads us. Notice also, as He leads us, He leads us beside still waters, not rushing waters that are cause us to fear, am I going to fall in and be washed away? These are still waters that bring peace and calm to us. A spring, have you ever just been hiking out in the woods and come across a spring and just get some of that fresh spring water to drink? Oh, that is so good. Still waters. Waters that are spiritually refreshing and renewing and encouraging. He leads us beside the still waters. Notice what comes next. He restores my soul. Oh my. How many of us need our souls restored today? How many of us are beaten and battered and hurt and struggling because of the spiritual war we're in? And we're just worn out. And we need that spiritual refreshment that restores our soul, the core of our being and who we are as a person made in the image of God. We notice He restores my soul. Is the Lord wanting to restore your soul? Is He listening? Are you listening when He says, hey, you need to slow down? You need to rethink some things? I know, I'm okay. Let's go. And we all need that restoration. Are we willing to take the time for the Lord to give us that restoration and to receive that restoration? He restores my soul. Look at the personal thing. He restores my soul. He restores all of the souls of His people. But David is focusing on himself. And this is one of the times you and I need to focus on ourselves. He restores my soul. You can't get restoration from any place else other than Jesus Christ. He's the only one that can restore your soul. And it begins first and foremost by trusting in Him and Him alone for your salvation. Admitting that you are a sinner. Admitting that Jesus is indeed the Son of God and He died for our sins and was raised from the dead. And if you trust in Him and confess your sin and repent, He will forgive you, and your soul will be restored, and you will have life and peace. He restores my soul. Look at the next one. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Once again, notice, He leads, He restores, He protects. He leads me in the paths of righteousness. The word path is an interesting word there. I don't know if some of you might not be old enough to have had the privilege of riding on an old dirt road that had ruts in it. Anybody ever done that? There's a few old codgers around. That rut, that word path can also be translated rut. He puts you in a rut. We don't like ruts, do we? I do. Depends on the rut. He leads me in the, what kind of a rut? Of righteousness. Of righteousness. Jesus Christ came in this world. He obeyed all the laws on our behalf. And because of our faith in Him, we are made acceptable to the Father because of the righteousness of Christ obeying the law on our behalf. So His righteousness is given to us, and that makes us acceptable to the Heavenly Father. So our relationship is what it should be, what God says it should be in His Word because of Christ working in us. Are you and I on that path of righteousness? Are we leading our lives? Are we living daily basis in such a manner that is pleasing and honoring to the Lord. Not what I think is right, by knowing the Scripture and storing it in our hearts so we won't sin against God. We lead a life that's pleasing and honoring to God, not the world. He leads me in the path of righteousness. The verb to lead there is another causative verb. He causes me to follow Him in that path. If I just listen with my heart and with my mind, the Spirit of God will lead me. The Spirit of God will lead you if you are His child. We say that the Lord speaks to us, and that's what we mean. He impresses upon our hearts and minds. What are you thinking? Why are you desiring that? Why are you doing that? You know that's not acceptable to me. What's wrong with you? And we know better. How many times you stand before your, usually mother's the one that beats the stew out of us. Every now and then dad gets a lick on us. But how many times did you stand before either one of your parents? You know better than this. Yeah, I do. But I never confessed to that. I always was ignorant. We know better. As believers in Christ, we know better. We know the Word. The Spirit teaches us. The Spirit helps us to remember. We know better. But He, once again, when He leads, He causes us to follow. Look at the next section there, verses 4 through 6. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. This is the subject matter that most of us do not like to deal with, and it's called death and dying. We're all going to die unless the Lord Jesus returns in our lifetime. But we don't know that. Only God the Father knows that. So we're all going to die. Are you ready? I'm not asking, do you want to die, okay? But are you ready? Are you prepared? That's the key thing. The only way to get prepared for death is to know Jesus as your Savior. Have you ever faced death? I faced death twice. 17 years old. Driving a truck for the city of Birmingham. In a situation where the truck, actually the brush that was on the back of the truck that I was trying to dump caught fire, and I had to back in the fire to get out of it. Flames came up the side of the cab into the cab where I was seated. Scared the living daylights out of me. Then, when I was in Thailand during Vietnam, a battalion of North Vietnamese regulars were coming down the Moon River to take out our base. Wow. I was a believer at that point. Makes you stop and think. We don't know when we're going to die, but are you prepared? David says, when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Dr. R.C. Sproul of Ligonier Ministries said he doesn't fear death. It's dying that's got him worried. The process of dying, it can be pretty brutal. But death for the believers, to be absent from the body, is to be present with the Lord. Leave this world of sin and ungodliness. What a chaotic world we're living in. But to know when you die, you'll be in the presence of the true and living God. Peace and joy for eternity. So we don't fear death for those who have Christ as Savior. We face it without fear. And we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't stay in it. We go through death into the presence of God. Look at the next verse. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You prepare a table? This is a banquet table, by the way. This is not one of those eat it and beat it deals. This is a banquet with a feast of food. And he prepares it in the presence of an enemy. You don't sit down and eat a banquet when you got the enemy coming after you. But the enemy cannot touch you because of you being in Christ. And in a time that would be threatening to the non-believer, we have peace and we have joy in the presence of our living Father and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're told that when you have a banquet, you anoint my head with oil. You know, in those days, people walked a lot. And whenever they went to a banquet, they walked. And when they got there, the host would usually give them a little bottle of oil that was scented. And they would use that to kind of freshen up with their hands and around their face. And it would be a sweet aroma. It was a very expensive oil, too. And this is what that oil is. A refreshing oil. And that's what Jesus Christ is to us, refreshing and encouraging in our daily walk. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows or runs over. This is a cup of blessing. And here's where we need to stop and think about the blessings that God's given to us. Spiritual. We're freed from the bondage of sin and death. We have a peace of heart and mind which surpasses all understanding. We have the joy of Christ in us. Jesus said, when you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added to you. And you can go on from there. The multitude of blessings. We're told in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You see, in this world that is so full of materialism, we have a tendency to define blessings as material possessions. And then God takes care of us in all of our needs, yes. But what about the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ Jesus? Meditate on that. My cup runs over. And then you get to the last verse. It says, surely. What does that mean? What does that mean? Better translation is, indeed. Indeed. Goodness and mercy shall follow me or pursue me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The word pursue means not just to try to run behind somebody, but to overtake them. You know, you see somebody in front of you and you're walking, not driving, and you want to talk to them. So what do? You book it. You get out there after them until you catch them. And when you catch them, you stop them and you talk. It's not just running around after one person after another, never doing anything. His goodness and His mercy overtake us. Overtake. I don't want goodness and mercy following me. I want them all over me. I know you do too. And so it's not a following, it's an overtaking. Goodness and mercy will follow me. How long? All the days of my life. Y'all ever have a bad day? You ever have a day you wish you'd go back home and get in bed and pull a cover over your head because everything you touch goes south? Yeah, we all have days like that. Well, you know, even in those days, that goodness and mercy is overtaking you in those days as well, because that's how you get through it. So indeed, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And then look at that last phrase. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. How long is forever? It's a long time. But where will you and I live? In the house of the Lord, in the presence of God forever. Now let me ask you something. Do you think this psalm is appropriate for Thanksgiving? Y'all must all be Presbyterians. You're not saying anything, yeah? Yeah, it is very appropriate. Because we have studied the true and living God, the source of all love and grace and mercy and peace and joy and everything else good for us. And He's the one that helps us to get through that string of Mondays sometimes. So I hope and pray that those of you here today, and you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, that leading up to Thursday, you just take some time to lie down in that green pasture and reflect on all the manifold blessings God has given to you. And you don't have to wait till Thursday to start giving thanks. You know, there's a warm-up, there's a practice, and you can just really give it on Thursday. And don't stop giving thanks. So we remember, the Lord is shepherding me. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, at the close of this service, I'd love to talk to you, to share with you how you can become a believer in Jesus Christ. This is Thanksgiving. The Lord is shepherding me. Shall we pray? Oh God, our Heavenly Father, how we praise You for this time of worship to honor Your holy and majestic name, and how You've spoken to the heart of everyone in here. I pray that Your children have been spiritually refreshed and renewed and encouraged. And I pray for those here today who do not know Jesus as Savior. Oh, Lord, would You work in their hearts by Your Spirit. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we sing this closing hymn, think about your relationship with Christ.
Please stand.
Keep in our hearts, the Lord is shepherding me, I shall not want. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be and abide with each and every one of you now and forevermore. Amen.